As we talked about this marriage that's going to take place, as we have looked at this marriage also known as the second coming, there is one person who doesn't want this wedding to happen. Does anyone know who that is? Satan, that's right. Satan does not want this event to happen because he knows that if it happens, it's game over. He's done for. And so the devil is doing everything that he possibly can so that we can continue as harlots, so that we don't participate in this wedding. Beloved, a marriage only takes place when two consenting individuals agree to marriage. God is faithful, but the question is, are we going to be faithful? God wants to marry us, but the question is, do we want to be married? Let's go in our Bibles as we start this evening. Matthew 24, verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. This passage is connected with the end of time. This passage is connected with events that are going to happen right before the second coming. Matthew chapter 24 is one of the most important chapters in the Bible that you can go to when you want to know, what do I look for regarding the second coming? Matthew chapter 24, it's found in page 960. Now watch this. You may be asking the question, well, how do I know, Michael, that Matthew chapter 24 is talking about the second coming? Let me show you. Matthew 24, verse 1. When you're there, if you can kindly say a nice, happy, hearty Valentine's Day, amen. Amen. All right, good. Wow, you're alive this morning. Good. Matthew 24, verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said something to them. Now watch what Jesus tells them. They basically are doing like a show and tell. They show Jesus this temple, and Jesus says these next words. Verse 2. Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus says, do you see this temple? The disciples are basically showing him this temple. Jesus says, yeah, do you see that temple? This temple is going to be destroyed. Verse 3, listen carefully. The disciples say in verse 3, now that they know that this temple will be destroyed, they say in verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, Jesus, tell us, when will these things be? In other words, when will the temple be destroyed? And what will be the sign of your what, everyone? Coming. Your coming. They want to know, what are the signs of the second coming? We want to know when you're coming back. Now, here's something fascinating. What does Jesus start out with? Listen carefully. Verse 4 and 5, you can continue reading in verse 4. It says this. You can look on the screen for this, or you can continue reading in your Bible. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man what? Deceive you. Jesus is warning them before he tells them that there's going to be wars, before he tells them that there's going to be pestilence and famine, before he tells them that there is going to be, we see later on, diseases. He says, be careful not to be deceived. Then he goes on, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now in verse 11, he again warns them, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Whenever you see the Bible repeat a common theme or a common word, you know that it's very important. Matthew chapter 24 now, verse 24, listen carefully. Now, this kind of freaked me out a little bit the first time I read this. It says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, here's the scary part, that if it were possible, they shall what, everyone? Deceive who? The bums on the street?
The elect.
The elect. Now, in no way, shape, or form do I consider myself part of the elect. I consider myself as a normal lay person. I consider myself just like you. Again, as I've said many times, I've never been trained. I've never gone to a seminary. I've never taken a formal Bible classes. None of those things. I've read my Bible. I turn off the television. I had a burden to share these messages. And next thing you know, I'm here and I'm sharing with the things I've learned. And when the Bible says, be careful because the very elect may be deceived, that frightens me. The reason why it frightens me is because I know that I am no match for Satan. If you read the book of Revelation, specifically chapter 12, it talks about heaven. And in heaven, there were billions of angels. We don't even know the exact number. It says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, I believe, it says that Satan was able to deceive. Does anyone know how many angels? One third. If you look around your table, maybe there's nine of you. That's three of you being deceived. Now, these were perfect angels. Nothing wrong with them. No taint towards sin. Now, if these angels are no match for Satan, how much more for someone like me? I want you to think about that. Because if we are not careful, and let me tell you something, beloved, the only way you can safeguard yourselves from being deceived is from following the Bible. That's it. Do not follow what your church says unless it goes according to what the Bible says. Do not follow what the preacher says. Even me, I'm warning you. Don't even listen to what I say unless it's from the Bible. Amen. I want to make sure we get this point down pat tonight, because we're going to be looking at how do we know that Jesus is going to come. Now, if this right here, the second coming, means the destruction of Satan, you better believe, you better bet your bottom dollar that Satan is going to do everything he possibly can to deceive us regarding what, everyone, what event? The second coming. If that's going to be his demise, if that's going to be his destruction, you better believe if I were Satan, I would do everything I possibly could to possibly can to make sure to deceive God's people. Make sure that I employ all sorts of false, crazy books, movies, whatever it is, so that God's people don't know what to look for regarding the second coming. Amen. Now, here's something interesting. I pulled this up from Wikipedia because it talks about deceiving many and false Christs. Did you know there's a list of people who claim to be Jesus? There's a bunch of them. It don't matter. There's one that's Hispanic, one that's black, one that's Asian, one that's white. It doesn't matter what race or nationality. There's a bunch who claim to be Jesus. Here's one right here I found. Jesus is black. Jesus is back, excuse me, and she's Chinese. All right? According to this one, Jesus is back and she's Chinese. This is Time Magazine. I found another one. Pastor with 666 tattoo claims to be divine. This guy's Hispanic. His name is Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. He claims to be Jesus. Claims to be God. And he has a 666 tattoo. There's another guy. His name is Apollo Kibuloy. And this guy supposedly has millions of followers around the world. And he even has supposedly recreated the Garden of Eden. Now, I could have pulled a bunch of false Christs, David Koresh, I could have done the classic ones, but that's not worth our time to look at all the false Christs. I just wanted to show you three of them. Why should we dwell upon the error or the deception when we should be looking at truth? Amen?
Amen.
All right, so now that we look at, obviously, it doesn't matter if it could be a man or a woman, it could be an Asian, it could be Hispanic, it could be black, it could be white. There seems to be a whole bunch of crazy loonies out there who think that they're the Christ. Yeah. Now, could it be possible there are some books out there that have the second coming of Jesus also a little messed up? Now, I'm going to show you a book that many of you in this room have possibly read, and I'm going to share with you how this book is a great deception. How many of you have seen this book before? The Left Behind series. According to this, there is this secret rapture. Satan wants you to believe this nonsense, that there will be this time where God's elect will be raptured, and it's a secret rapture, and there will be this 7 years of tribulation on this earth known as the Great Tribulation. Now, here's something a lot of people don't know regarding the Left Behind series. How many of you shop on Amazon? All right. I see three people's hand. I'm sure almost every single person shops on Amazon, right? Now, have you ever looked at what section you're going to find the Left Behind series? Does anyone know?
Fiction.
That's right! You're going to find it in the fiction section. Here, I pulled it up. on Amazon.com. This is books, religion, spirituality, fiction, and science fiction. And we have the whole Left Behind series. Now, where do people get this idea that Jesus' coming is going to be a secret? Well, the Bible does say that Jesus will come as a thief in the night. Did you know that? The Bible actually says that. So because the Bible says that Jesus comes as a thief in the night, many people take that Bible verse and they now think that he's going to come in secret. The problem is they're not reading the entire verse. Are you ready to go to that passage right now? Let's go there. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, this is a very important verse. It's on the screen and I want you to turn there so you can see it with your own eyes. 2 Peter is in the New Testament all the way in the back. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 and page 1167. 1167. So some of you may be thinking, yeah, the Left Behind series, I've read that. The Bible does say that Jesus comes as a thief at night. I'm going to bring you there. Page 1167. 1167 in your seminar Bibles, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. I'm also going to put it on the screen, but you're going to want to see this, okay? All right, so listen carefully. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a what?
Thief in the night.
Unfortunately, many people stop reading the Bible right there. But the Bible keeps going. Continuing on, it says, in which the heavens shall what?
Pass away.
Okay, that doesn't seem so secret. No. Let's keep reading. It says, and with a what?
Whoo,
a what? Does that sound like a secret to you?
No.
Let's keep reading. It says, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Does that sound like a secret?
No.
No, it sounds like a bunch of chaos. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Does that sound like a secret to you?
No.
No. Okay, so let's break this down. Well, what about this passage, thief in the night? Why does the Bible use that phrase? One peaceful evening, I was sleeping, and I remember my dog, my faithful dog, Buddy, barking. And Buddy was barking, and Buddy usually does not bark during the night. But he was barking and making a bunch of noise. And I remember, when we were sleeping, I remember I was 18 years old at the time. I was 19 years old. I think I was in college, my first year in college. And I commuted to college. My college that I went to was only 7 miles away. And I remember hearing the dog bark. It was like midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning, somewhere crazy. I remember I woke up and I hear a bunch of noise from the rest of my family members. Shut up, Buddy. Shut up. Please be quiet, Buddy. Shut up, Buddy. That's all I would hear. You know, angry family members in my household who were not happy that the dog was barking. Well, the next morning we wake up and it turns out that someone had broke into my car and stole it. Faithful watchdog, huh? The dog heard that there were some guys who were stealing the car. I had one of those cars that everyone liked to steal. And they stole that car. And I remember I looked at the dog and I said, you're a good boy. Felt kind of guilty now that I was telling the dog to shut up, right?
Yeah.
Now, someone came as a thief in the night.
Unexpected.
It was unexpected, right? Now, let's just say that I knew that someone was going to steal my car. What do you think I would do?
I'd be ready.
Not me. He might have beaten up me too, but I might have gotten some of my friends too, right?
Yeah.
We would have been ready for that person. Maybe call the cops. If I knew that someone was going to come at 2 in the morning, we would be ready. But the thing is, we weren't ready. It was unexpected. The reason why the Bible says that the second coming will be as a thief in the night is because it's unexpected for those who are not ready. That's the reason why. Now, what about the expression? I know some of you might be saying, but I know there's an expression somewhere that says one was taken and the other left, right? Some of you are like, no, somewhere in the Bible it says one taken and one left. And again, at the Revealing Revelation Seminar, we don't want to sugarcoat any verses. We don't want to hide some verses underneath the carpet. If there's a difficult passage, we want to let you know about it. So there's a place in the Bible. It says there's one taken, one left. Let's go there. Luke chapter 17, verse 36. Luke chapter 17, verse 36. Let's go in your Bibles. Luke chapter 17, verse 36. Luke chapter 17, verse 36. And let's take you there. That's found in 1014. Again, welcome to those who just came in tonight. We're looking at the second coming. Is it going to be a secret? Is there a secret rapture? Or is it something that's going to be loud? Is it something where Jesus is going to come with all his glory? Amen. 1014, page 1014. Again, we're looking at Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 36. Okay, are you all there? All right. Luke chapter 17, verse 36. The Bible reads this. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. All right, so that phrase is in the Bible. Now, let's read before that verse. Let's back up a little bit so we get the context. Go ahead and back up to verse 26, continuing on. Verse 26. And as it was also in the days of who, everyone? Noah. In the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. So here we see the Bible compares the second coming to another great event. What a great event is that? The flood. Now in the flood, we see that there were two groups. One group was saved and one group was lost. Continuing on, let's continue. Luke chapter 17, verse 26, it says, so in the days of Noah, also will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they had wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. So here we see in the Bible that it says that the people at Noah's time, they were not expecting the flood. They were eating, they were drinking, they were living life like normal. Now, if you back up to the story of Noah, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he was preaching for about 120 years. So here's Noah telling people to get on the ark, telling people and shouting and saying, God is going to destroy this earth. Please come into the ark. We even see all the animals come into the ark. Understand that God doesn't do anything unless he gives us sufficient warning. Amen? God loves us. And he wants to tell us about what's going to happen. So let's explain four truths about the second coming tonight. Four truths about the second coming tonight. So four truths about the second coming. Number one, he comes from above. So the first truth, he comes from above. Second truth, all will hear him. Third truth, all will see him. And the fourth truth, your case has been decided. So let's go ahead and continue looking at this. Let's go in our Bibles now to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, as we continue on. And by the way, beloved, if I had sufficient time, if I had more time, I would break down Luke 17 even in further detail. But again, what I want to do is focus on truth. Focus on how Jesus is coming, the manner of his coming, looking at all of these things. That's what we want to do, is focus on God's truth. All right, so the first one, he comes from above. Acts chapter 1, verse 11 tells us that Jesus comes from above. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. I notice that some of you are still going there. It's page 1051 in your seminar Bibles. 1051, Jesus comes from above. Notice what the Bible says. 1051. It says, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So when Jesus comes, don't listen to some person if they say Jesus is in Jerusalem. That's the thing. Some people think that everything is going to happen in the Middle East, that there's going to be a great event in the Middle East, that there's going to be this thing called Armageddon. Some people believe that Jesus is going to show himself and Jesus is going to appear. If someone tells you that Jesus is in Jerusalem, don't believe it. It's a lie. Because according to the Bible, it says in Acts 1 verse 11, when you see Jesus, guess where you're going to see him? In the clouds, in the sky. He's going to come from above. Okay, the next one. All will hear him. All will hear him. Let's now go into our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. 1 Thessalonians is in the New Testament. And we're going to go to chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's found in 1137. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. 4 verse 16. Again, we're looking at the manner of Jesus coming. The first one, he's coming from above. The second one, all will hear him. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. Listen carefully to what the Bible says. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." According to this passage, we see when Jesus comes, he will have the voice of a trumpet. Now, question for you. For those of you who maybe opted to serenade your wife for Valentine's Day, did you play a trumpet? You're laughing at me. Why didn't you use a trumpet to serenade your wife for Valentine's Day? It's loud. Right? What do you use a trumpet for? Anyone been in the military here? How do they wake you up? What do they use? Do they use a violin? Do they use a piccolo? When they wake you up, what instrument does everyone think of to make a bunch of noise? Trumpet. A trumpet. The reason why the Bible says that Jesus comes with the voice of a trumpet is because it's loud. Because you understand, just like a trumpet is used to wake people up, Jesus' voice is going to do what? Wake up the dead. And you're telling me that that's a secret? Does anyone else know what a trumpet is used for?
To rally.
To rally, good. In Middle Eastern, in time of the Middle Ages, I should say, right before the king came, it was preceded by a trumpet to rally the villages, to let them know that the king was coming.
Amen.
Understand the reason why a trumpet is used in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is because it's loud. All will hear him, even the dead. For those of you who are deaf, you'll hear him too, because the dead will hear him. Amen?
Amen.
Understand also that it says that it uses the word trumpet because it precedes the coming of the king.
Amen.
All right, truth number three. Truth number three regarding the second coming. Now let's go in our Bibles for this one. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. So we saw, just to review, he comes from above. Does anyone remember where in the Bible it says that? Acts 1:11. Good. Acts 1 verse 11. So Jesus comes from above. He's not just going to randomly appear from the Middle East. Number two, we see that all will hear him. That's why it uses the word like a trumpet. And then number three, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it tells us something fascinating, something interesting. This is probably the most important scripture this evening regarding the second coming. Revelation 1, verse 7, that's found on page 1174. 1174. All right, I want us all to see this one. When you're there, if you can kindly say amen.
Amen.
All right. The Bible reads, page 1174, Revelation 1, verse 7. Okay? The Bible renders, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him." Now, here's something interesting as well. It not only says, "Every eye will see him," notice this. There's going to be this special resurrection as well, including those that pierced him. They almost get like a special preview. It's almost as if they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They said, "You're not the Messiah. We don't believe you." And so there's a special screening for them. You know how Hollywood has a pre-screening? They get a special screening. We learned yesterday that there are two resurrections. The resurrection for the righteous, which is the first resurrection. Then there's 1,000 years, and there's the resurrection for the wicked after the millennium. But in Revelation 1 verse 7, it says that those who pierced him, they will see him face to face to know that they were wrong. Revelation 1 verse 7, it says all will see him. So if someone tells you that Jesus is in Canada, you know that that's false. Why?
You can't see him from here.
Right. Number one, he has to come from above. Number two, all will see him.
Amen.
Now, just as we said earlier, the devil is not happy. And the devil is going to do everything he can. The devil is going to want to deceive us from that great event because he knows that it's game over when Jesus comes. And so right before Jesus comes, the devil is going to do something sneaky. Go in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14. And remember, this evening's presentation is called Unmasking the Devil's Delusion. The devil's biggest delusion is the second coming. He's going to try to impersonate it. And in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14, notice what it says. This will be the crowning act of what Satan is going to do right before Jesus comes. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14, this is what's going to happen. Verse 14, listen carefully. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14, that's found in 1118. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14, the Bible reads, "And no wonder, for Satan himself does what, everyone? He will transform himself into an angel of light." So understand, Satan, he's going to deceive. He's going to try to deceive even the very elect, the Bible says. And right before Jesus comes, Satan is going to try to have this fake second coming. And he's going to try to have all of these people follow him. And he's going to probably try to resurrect the disciples as well. Now, here's the thing. All of us who don't know any better will be like, wow, the disciples are here as well. But because we know our Bible, if we see the disciples come to life, if Peter comes up to you, you know that the dead know not anything, and that can't be Peter.
Nope.
Do you see how the devil is going to try to do some crazy things right before Jesus comes? The last thing that Satan is going to do, the last thing that he wants us to believe, Satan wants you and me to believe that when Jesus comes, we still have a chance. You know, a lot of people don't realize this. But in Revelation chapter 22, verse 11, the Bible says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." When you study Revelation 22, it says, "I come quickly, and I bring my reward with me." And Jesus has done all the work in heaven so that when he comes, he's coming to reward. And the Bible says when Jesus comes, it's too late. Those who are unjust, let them be unjust. He that is filthy, let them be filthy. He that is righteous, let them be righteous. You see, beloved, when Jesus comes, there is no more time. There is no more chance. Our probations have closed. When you see through the eastern sky and see Jesus galloping on his white horse, when you see every angel being emptied out of heaven, when you see the heavens rumble through the skies and you see the champion of champions, our Lord and Savior, when you see him, when we are hopefully beholding that great day, when we hear the trumpet of God, when every eye shall see him, when we see the dead come out of the ground like a toaster, when we see both young and old come to Jesus,
amen,
what a great day that will be.
Amen.
That's the day when families will be reunited with loved ones.
Amen.
That's the day when there will be no more sorrow, no more suffering, because the former things are passed away.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I can't wait for that day.
Amen.
That day when I can personally go to Jesus and thank him. One author says, one Christian author, this individual says that when we get to heaven, and I can't back this up in the Bible, I'm just hoping that this is the case, that when we get to heaven, that not only will we be able to talk to Jesus face to face and throw our crowns at his feet, but we'll be able to take a walk around heaven. And he'll give us a grand tour of the place. He'll tell us about how he was watching us and that moment when we first gave our hearts to him, when our names were written in the book of life.
Amen.
I can't wait to do that. You know, I don't know what heaven is going to be like. We do have a presentation the last night called When Cats and Dogs Get Along. And we're going to be looking at what is heaven like. I've never seen it. The Bible gives a couple of chapters about it. But for me, it's not so much about the streets of gold. It's not so much about the mansions. It's not so much about the tree of life, the beauty and the splendor. For me, it's about being with Jesus.
Amen.
As we close, I have a story I'd like to share. There was a father. Father had a daughter, daddy's little girl. And from a very beginning age, he trained his daughter to not be scared of the water. He would take her to the pool and he would teach her how to swim at a very young age. 4, 5, 6 years old, enrolled her in swimming class. Showed her how to pedal, how to use her arms, and how to kick her feet. He taught her the different strokes. And this father would taught his young daughter his love of swimming. And they would always swim together, whether it was a lake, whether it was a beach, whether it was a pool. They would swim. And one day, they decided to go on a special swimming trip. They went to the shores of New Jersey. And as they went on to the shores of New Jersey, they went into the beautiful Atlantic Ocean. And as they were at the Atlantic Ocean, looking at its beauty, they decided to take a swim. Father got in. The water was nice. It was summertime. Daughter got in as well. Began to swim. And as they were swimming, and they were seasoned swimmers now. They know how to swim for many miles. As they were swimming, the tide brought them further and further. And it was taking them to dangerous, uncharted territory. And the waves got really bad. And the father knew that they were in danger. They were now a good couple miles away from the seashore. And so he told his daughter, he said, "Honey, I've taught you how to swim. This is a situation where we don't know where the tide is bringing us. I'm going to swim back to shore and get help. I'm going to go back to shore and try to find someone. I'm going to try to fly down a boat. I'm trying to do something." He knew that if both of them went back, that his daughter may not make it. He found an area where the water wasn't as bad yet. The tides were fine. And so he told his daughter and instructed her, we've been through this many times. If you get tired, just go on your back and relax. Just swim." And he said, "Honey, I will return." He swam back as fast as he could, adrenaline kicking in. And he swam back and he was swimming now for his life. Not only for his, but for his precious daughter that was out there, 10 years old. And as he was swimming back, he found a fisherman's boat. And he told them the story. And they were able to channel and radio a bigger boat. And now they had a couple of boats who are now trying to look for his daughter. The waves were rocky and stormy. The tide had pulled her in another direction. He gave them the general direction where they were. And he was now in the boat. And they went to that direction. And she wasn't there. He was panicking with fear. And of course, many of you have been in the situation when you're missing a loved one and all you think about is the worst. They brought the helicopters, the search and rescue team. It had now been 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And I don't know how long you can swim, but I get tired after 10 minutes. 4 hours later, from the skies, they saw her in the middle of the Atlantic. Search and rescue team came down. Father was relieved. He came and he embraced his daughter and he looked her in the eye and they were so excited to be reunited again. And he looked panicked and it seemed as if he thought almost that she had died and she was wondering, why is my dad so happy to see me? The newscasters and many of the search and rescue team, they said, honey, how were you able to stay afloat for so long? She said very calmly, as if nothing happened. She said, my daddy said he'll return. And I believed him. Jesus is coming for you and for me. Sometimes we may feel like this little girl, alone. No one else around. But if Jesus says it, you can believe it.
Amen.
And that settles it.
Amen.
We look at the signs around us. In Matthew 24, it talks about earthquakes and famines and pestilence and wars. Beloved, those are just the chariot wheels rumbling. Our King is coming soon. I want you to think about the message and song this evening as you think about your relationship with Jesus. How are you living your life? Are you living as if Jesus is coming tomorrow? Would you be ready if he came tonight? Please ponder those things and meditate as you hear the message and song. This is our God.
Amen.
He will save us.
Amen.
I believe that Jesus is coming soon. There's a saying that all the Christians of old used to say, and that was Maranatha. Can you say that? Maranatha. And that means our Lord is coming. And beloved, don't listen to what the naysayers and what the doubters and the skeptics say and when they say that. We keep hearing that. Our God is coming. This is our God and he will save us. The reason why Jesus hasn't come yet is because we're runaway brides. How many of you tonight, you first understand that this message is clear, that Jesus is going to come literally, that he's going to come visibly, that you will hear him. How many of you believe that? Amen? Amen. Here's the next appeal. How many of you want to stop dating Jesus and you want to be married to him? You know the difference, right? When you're dating someone, there's no commitment. Boom, you just break up with a person the next day, right? When you're married to someone, it's for life. How many of you want to say that tonight? Lord Jesus, on Valentine's Day, will you be my real, true Valentine?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for being our God. We thank you because you're saving us. We thank you because you haven't given up on us. I thank you personally for saving a wretch like me. I thank you, God, because I was once blind, but now I see. I thank you for each and every person who has come to this meeting. I thank you that you put the desire in their heart get to know you better. And Lord, we don't want to be deceived. We know the devil is out there like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know that the devil's greatest tactic is deception. And if there is one point he will try to deceive us on, it's the second coming. So God, I just pray that each person in this room, under the sound of my voice, that we will follow an it is written. That we will follow the Bible, our basic instructions before leaving earth. So that each one of us can see you face to face. Amen. Oh Lord, we ask that you bring us back tomorrow morning, nice and early, 10:45 in the morning. Please, dear God, do whatever it takes. Help us to understand we're living in serious times. Thank you, God, for loving us, redeeming us. In Jesus' name.